My name is Tebelelo Maleme Chelesen.
Tebelelo Maleme.
Maleme.
Yes.
Maleme. Okay. Welcome, Mr. Maleme. This committee is a Powers and Privileges Committee, constituted in line with the provisions of the Act to investigate the incident that happened on the 11th of July. So you have been called as a witness in these proceedings. Section 168 of the Powers and Privileges Act requires of me that prior to a witness giving evidence, I must inform you as follows. Please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you, or to produce any document that you are required to produce in connection with the subject matter of the inquiry. Notwithstanding, the answer or document could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages. You are, however, protected in that the evidence that will be given under oath or affirmation before a house or committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside of Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Do you have any objection to taking an oath or making an affirmation?
I have no objections, Chair.
Would you prefer an oath or an affirmation?
An oath.
An oath.
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you please stand up and raise your right hand and repeat after me? I swear that the testimony or evidence I'm going to give,
I swear that the testimony and evidence I'm going to give,
is the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
Is the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
Thank you, Mr. Maleme. I can now hand over to Advocate Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Maleme, just please explain to the committee what your job is in Parliament. You are employed in Parliament. What position are you employed in?
I am currently employed chair as the Deputy Sergeant at Arms, or I'm employed as the Deputy Sergeant at Arms, currently acting as the Sergeant at Arms. And in the main, my responsibilities include, among others, to perform ceremonial and protocol duties. This includes leading procession of presiding officer just when the house is about to sit. And I also have to ensure that, when the house is sitting and there's voting, that the doors are properly closed during the voting session in the house. The other function is about ensuring provision of security in the NA chamber, in and around, especially when the House is sitting. And that may include, or rather includes, removal of persons from the chamber on instructions of presiding officers in terms of the rules. And that also applies even people who occupy bays, President Bay or Speaker's Bay. The other role I think I do is to coordinate and maintain attendance of members, and we provide parties with attendance records of members as and when requested. Yeah, in the nutshell.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. So one of the functions that you described or responsibilities was the removal of members from a chamber. Now, the incident that we are involved with at this committee is one such incident that happened on the 11th of July 2019, where members were removed from this very chamber, actually. And were you on duty here on that day?
Yes, Chair, I was on duty.
Right. Can you describe, relative to the room now, since we are in the same room, where you would be sitting as the sergeant at arms? So if the chair would be sitting there, where the current chair is, where would you as the sergeant at arms be sitting?
Chair, I sit right at the bed. If you look at the bed towards the door, there is a chair there on your left hand side, on the right hand side, I mean. That's where I normally sit.
Oh, in the gallery?
Yes, sir, in the gallery, okay.
And you sat there observing the proceedings?
Correct.
And your functions, your responsibilities in the removal of members from a chamber are the ones that are outlined in Rule 73, is that right?
Correct, Chair.
And Rule 73 must be read together with Appendix C, which is the standard operating procedures for the removal of members, is that right?
Correct.
So to describe when your particular role in general, before we get to that particular day, describe when your role as a sergeant of arms would be triggered inside a chamber.
When a presiding officer has requested a member to withdraw either a statement or withdraw from the chamber, and a member does not agree with the presiding officer, the presiding officer would say, I will now request the sergeant at arms to assist me with removing the member from the chamber. So it is at that point that my role is activated.
And then again, once again, in general, how do you perform your function then? If he or she calls you, the presiding officer calls for your assistance, how are you supposed to carry it out?
I move from where I am seated and I would approach the member. Upon arrival, I explain to the member that the presiding officer has issued an instruction. And it is important that the instruction of the presiding officer be obeyed. And I do that in a respectful manner. Explain to the member that in an event that they do not obey the instruction, the matter may have to be escalated and the presiding officer may have to request the parliamentary protection services to remove the member.
I'm going to play a very short snippet of the video of the day because Sergeant at Arms was only called for towards the end, and then I'm going to ask you some questions.
Yeah,
So you saw the chair said, I need the answer. Then members started to move towards the podium, and then she said in three times in quick succession, Sergeant at arms, Sergeant at arms, Sergeant at arms. So you were seated there in the gallery. What did you do?
I stood from where I was seated, chair, and I attempted to approach the members because I understood that the chair wanted me to go and speak to the members of the EFF.
All right. How did you know which members to go to? Because you've now described the process that you must carry out your functions. You go to a member and you speak to them. How do you, because in that picture, just on that picture on its own, it's not just members who are dressed in red who are there in the center of the room, it's other members. So how did you know which members her call for you related to?
Because prior to that, the presiding officer was in a process of asking certain members if they were of the opinion that the minister on the day was not going to speak. So as she started asking them one by one if indeed that was their position, they then approached the podium. So immediately she started saying, Sergeant at arms, Sergeant at arms, as if she perceived some kind of danger or threat. So I understood her to mean, please come and assist with the members who are approaching the podium.
All right, and then describe, you say you then moved from where you sat at the back because you're not yet in the frame. And then what did you do?
Chair, as I was approaching the podium, immediately I recall that the presiding officer then changed to say Parliamentary Protection Services. Parliamentary Protection Services, please come in. I then immediately turned because Parliamentary Protection Services, though they are allowed to come into the chamber through the instruction of the presiding officer, that must also happen under the direction of the sergeant at arms. So I had to turn immediately to go and let the Parliamentary Protection Services that they are required in the house.
All right, I'll just go back to the footage quickly. So it seems to us who are watching so many months later to be taking quite a long time. Where was Parliamentary Security?
Chair, they were outside this venue, right at the back.
Which back? Side of
that side, chair.
And from your evidence, they couldn't come in unless directed by you to come in.
Correct.
After being called by the chair.
Correct.
All right. Is that you? You just saw that.
Yes, chair.
And the people in civilian clothes are Parliamentary Security.
Yes, chair.
So in your evidence, you describe the process, which was you go to a member who has been identified as the member who has to leave, you ask them to leave, and so on. But clearly, that's not the process that you followed there, because when we see you in the frame, we already see you, the parliamentary security, at your tail. Can you explain why it is you didn't follow the procedure that is set out in the standard operating procedures to remove members?
Well, I think it's because things happen so quickly. As indicated earlier, when the presiding officer initially called me, the intention was to approach the members for reasons that I explained, but when she changed her tune to say Parliamentary Protection Services must enter the chamber, with the experience that I've heard since I've been part of the early table and in this role, normally when Protection Service is called into the chamber, it's because the presiding officer is of the view that members must be removed. Otherwise, I do talk to the members, I do explain at the time when the presiding officer has requested me to, as an initial step, I do the communication with members. But once it escalates to a level where the presiding officer say Parliamentary Protection Services must enter, it means they are there to have a member or set of members removed.
What was your instruction to Parliamentary Security? What was your direction to them? Go and remove who?
Well, Chair, I quickly said to them, I suspect we are being requested to remove members of the EFF. Please come with me.
I say that because it's clear on the footage when they come in, they target the members who are wearing red, and they're not concerned so much with the other members who are also on the floor. So you because you have been watching the proceedings all along, you say you believed that the chair meant that it is the EFF members who should be removed.
Correct, Chair.
So I'm going to ask you a similar question that I've asked previous witnesses about the level of this level of disruption. I'm sure at certain times you've witnessed and been part of quite a few disruptions. Was there anything different or special about this one in your experience?
Well, yeah, that's true. I have seen members being removed from the chamber. I think what was unusual about this one was the fact that members of the EFF approached the podium. I do not recall an instance where members literally approached the podium where another member was supposed to speak. So I would say that's what was special or unusual about the incident.
And when you saw that happen, what did you think? What did you make of that?
You mean from where I was seated?
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit shocked, Chair. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if the fact that they were approaching the podium meant anything at all. It all happened so quickly. It was a bit of, it was a bit shocking. Yeah.
And you remained there until the members were removed?
Correct, Chair.
Were they leaving the room voluntarily or were they resisting?
Well, if I recall well, I did see a bit of pushing that happened as they were being assisted to leave the chamber. So if you say were they leaving voluntarily because of the pushing and shoving that was happening there, one wouldn't necessarily say that it was voluntarily.
Okay. All right. I don't have questions for this witness. Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Maleme would ask members to ask you some questions. Members have got 5 minutes for the whole question and answer session. I am going to restrict the preferred time. Victor is helping me here, so I'm going to take hands now. Honorable Ndlozi and Honorable Deputy Chief Whip, Honorable Zach. Honorable Ndlozi.
Thank you. Do the rules empower you in any way to remove members of a political party?
Okay, maybe you'll rephrase the question. Members of the political party.
Chair, I act under the instruction of the presiding officer. So members are removed from the chamber because the presiding officer would have made that request.
To the rule, when you were talking earlier, you agreed that there are rules to you removing members. Agreed? You said that earlier. They showed you. Do you remember that there are rules relating to you removing members?
There are. I know, Chair, that there are rules that regulate the removal of members from the chamber that activates my role as a sergeant at arms.
Do those rules empower you to remove members of a political party? That's my question.
Under the instruction of the presiding officer, Chair, yes, they do.
The rule. So if a presiding officer says, Sergeant at Arms, remove members of the DA, you would go and remove members of the DA. And that will be in line with the rule.
I think, Chair, either most of the time if a presiding officer has not named a specific member to be removed, it would either be because there were either two or three members.
I'm sorry to interject. I have 5 minutes only, with the greatest respect. So let's do this. I'm going to read a rule of removal, which I thought you knew. H 312 says, 71D, the speaker, if he or she is not the speaker, name the member and order him to leave the chamber immediately. Name the member. And then Rule 73, which you read together with the initiator earlier, If a member refuses to leave the chamber when ordered to do so by the presiding officer, in terms of Rule 1751, the presiding officer must instruct Sergeant at Arms, which is you, to remove the member from the chamber and the precinct of Parliament. So do you agree that it has to do with a member that would have been named by the Speaker or the presiding officer?
Correct.
So, do you agree that there is nothing in the rule that would empower you to remove members of a political party? That members have to be named, not a political party, but their names. Do you agree?
Can I just come in there? Can I just come in there? I think the witness is saying that he is acting on the instruction of the presiding officer. So whether the instruction is wrong or is right, he's acting on the instruction. That's what he said.
And I put it to him, are you saying you can act on whatever instruction if it is in contravention of the rules?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay. So, in terms of the rules, it is illegal for a presiding officer to say, members of the DA leave the house. It is also illegal for a presiding officer to instruct you to remove members of a political party. Do you agree?
It depends on what the context would have been.
A final question. Earlier on when you were answering, you said, when the presiding officer, who never told you who to remove, at no stage did the presiding officer say, remove Honorable Madingo or any other. But she shouted, Sergeant at Arms, Sergeant at Arms, Sergeant at Arms. In your answer, you said you suspected when she started saying, protection officer, or Parliament security, that she is asking for the removal of EFF members. Correct?
I did say so.
So why? Why would you suspect that she's asking for the removal of members of the EFF when the rule says she must send you to a person and name him?
Because initially, Chair, the presiding officer had started the process of naming members who were determined at that point that the minister was not going to speak. So as she started the process, the members stood and walked to the front. So because I may not know what the presiding officer thought at that time, but my observation was that she probably felt that there was danger or there was anything that may have happened to me, that was going to happen at that point. That's when she called me in quick succession, and she immediately changed to say Parliamentary Protection Services must enter the venue.
Okay, thank you. We have actually
no with your indulgence, just a final to clarify. I don't want to misinterpret the witness. They said to you there was the protection services took long to enter the room. In that time, between you going outside and coming back, did you find the honorable members who have been charged engaged in any violence.
No chair.
Thank you. It's a new question, it's not necessarily a follow-up.
No, it's a clarity. I'm clarifying based on how she answered.
Right.
Because I'm trying to see what is the threat and the danger that he was calculating such that at the end he attributed it to the members that he ultimately said they must be removed.
Alright, let's just proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Acting Sergeant at Arms. Thank you very much for presenting yourself before us. I just want you to respond yes or no on this following questions that I'm going to ask you. Sergeant at Arms, Acting. The sittings of the House and mini plenaries, do you sit in all of them? Do you usually sit in the mini plenaries or the sitting of the House?
Yes, Chair, I do.
You were sitting in this room on the chair that you pointed earlier.
Yes, Chair.
Which means you witnessed everything that was happening in the House.
That's correct.
Okay. What you saw, even though you work on the instructions of the presiding officer, what you saw happen in this venue on that day, was something that was supposed to happen, or were people violating the rules of the House?
Can you repeat the question again, member?
Were members who were in this room, who led to the presiding officer call you and the protection service, were violating the rules of the House according to you and according to what the presiding officer was engaging with them? In your understanding, were they violating the rules of the House or not?
Well, if a presiding officer orders, for an example, that members should not rise on the same point of order, and they do, that can be interpreted as violation of rules.
Okay. So in terms of Rule 70, 71, and 73, I'm not going to read the rules, Honorable Chair, in respect of time. You acted as per the rules, which says that you are called by the presiding officer to act.
That's correct, Chair.
And also, do you agree with me that the presiding officer, as she was calling the protection services, according to the rules, Rule 73, is because she was in distress. She called you, and then she called the protection services. Was she in distress, or was she in a jolly mood?
Well, I from how the events unfolded on that day, Chair, one could say that she looked like she was in distress.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, Honourable Chair is out. All right. So she will forfeit her right to raise questions. Let me hand over to Advocate Prayers.
Just one question I have for you, Mr. Manu. So your evidence was that you had been sitting here throughout the proceeding from the beginning. You had observed everything that had been said by not just the chair, but by the members as well. You had observed conduct which, in your evidence, you said shocked you. My question is, and you said in your evidence that the chair had begun to name the people that would not permit the minister to speak. So you knew, even though she couldn't proceed to name everybody, who it was that had to be removed from the house.
Chairperson, like I said earlier, I could only assume that because of the process that she had began asking specific members of a specific party that the chair meant that those members must be removed from the house.
Because they were disrupting the proceedings.
Yes, Chair.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Malele. And it has got down as confused. Down I thought it's Malele, but it's pronounced Develo, thank you very much. It took at least still have some time to prepare for the sitting of the house this afternoon. Would like to thank you very much. You have been of assistance to this committee, and you are excused.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, members, I think we can adjourn. We had planned that we're going to adjourn at 1:30, but there's nothing to do now in the next 10 minutes. So let's adjourn for lunch, and then we should be back here at say 2:15. And I hope the last witness will be here. And then we can deal with the last witness and then the closing arguments, if there are any.
Yeah, that was the last witness.
That was the last witness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you want more witnesses.
I thought that you were talking about she would be here, brief, thought there is a lady.
No, it was him.
Okay. No, it's fine. We will return at 2:15. To listen to if there's some arguments or whatever. We will hear from Advocate Mayosi when we come back, and then we will decide on the way forward when we come back at 2:15. So it's quite clear that it will be done by today. Okay. The hearings are adjourned, honorable members, until